And Carrie Berg is the district manager for the Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District, and she is right here with us this morning to talk about aquatic invasive species prevention aid dollars, which were approved yesterday by the county board.
Right. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. So how'd it go?
It went well. I went to the commissioners' meeting yesterday, and they approved our plan. We had two meetings that were open to the public, and we invited everyone we could think of, the Forest Service, the DNR, anyone who owned a boat landing, outfitters. Mm-hmm. We posted them on Boreal, and I said, forward this email on to anyone else you can think of. So we wanted as much input as possible to create the plan, and it was a bit of a rush because the plan had to be created and approved by December 31st of this year. But the nice thing is the plan is flexible and it can be changed on an ongoing basis. So we tried to keep it as readable and as flexible as possible. And we didn't have to reinvent the wheel because the DNR had a template, which so we had a starting point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they've been real active about that. Now, this is kind of a lot of money.
Yeah, it's $80,000 for 2014 and then $180,000 for 2015, and these numbers are based on the amount of boat landings and trailer spots. So, as you know, Cook County has a lot of boat landings and lake accesses. So, we really lucked out in this one.
So, for that kind of money, we won't have any aquatic invasive species by the end of next year, right?
Well, a lot of people ask me that and say, "What's the point? Like, we are never going to get rid of all invasive species, but." You know, you may as well try, and education, it sounds like, based on the special guests we've had at our mm-hmm. meetings and the research, is the biggest way to use your prevention aid.
So, give me a kind of a overview of what's in the plan so far.
Sure. So, there's seven sections in the plan, and the first part is to assess the county's resources and the risk of AIS, so maybe do some GIS mapping, look at the lakes that are infested and see how they're connected and, you know, think of good ways to maybe put inspectors at those key locations. And then so that goes into the second part of the plan, which is increase enforcement. So when we say enforcement, we mostly mean education. So have people at boat landings explaining to boaters, like, hey, did you clean your boat? Did you wash it down with your hose? Did you dry it off? Some counties have decontamination stations.
I know. That would be kind of expensive.
They are very expensive. And, you know, that's a pretty hot topic because people who couldn't come to our meetings have been emailing me their input. So we have about maybe half a good side of people who are really want decontamination stations and another group who's maybe just realizing that there's a lot of questions that come with it. Where would we put it? Where would the contaminated water go? You have to use personal protective equipment because it's really hot water that you need to blast away. Where would we get the hot water source from? Whose land would we put it on? Who would run it? So there are a lot of good questions, but we've heard pros and cons of both, so that'll be an ongoing topic. So the next part of the plan was to increase public awareness and participation in prevention. So including collaborating with other counties, we've been trying to keep in touch with St. Louis County and Lake County and see what they're doing because a big part is collaboration. And if we can work with others, we can make our dollars go further. Then again, partnerships, like I talked before with Lake Associations, the Sea Grant, Minnesota Sea Grant, mm-hmm. Grand Portage, hopefully Outfitters, Wilderness Camps. The fifth part of the plan, early detection. So encourage people who find AIS, aquatic invasive species at, or have questions or see something curious, for us to find a process for them to, who do they report it to? Because right now nobody really knows because nobody is really responsible for it. So that'd be an exciting thing to do. And if you have early detection, then hopefully you can make a plan to stop the spread. Mm-hmm. And then manage existing populations of aquatic invasive species. This is tricky because I don't know if our lakes, we can do that right now with what we have. We have spiny water flea in quite a few lakes. And then the U.S. Forest Service did some rusty crayfish surveys. So that's been spotted too. So how to manage them, that's, you know, we'll have to ask some questions of some specialists and see what to do.
Well, I know with zebra mussels, which haven't, I think, showed up here yet, that there's a chemical that they can use at a certain point, not any time, but at a certain point in the life of the zebra mussel colony, that seems to be not too expensive and seems to work. But they don't go anyplace. They just kind of stay in one spot. Once you find them, you found them, you know. But because they are a mussel and they don't move around much. But spiny water flea can be anywhere. I mean, it's a bug, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little clear bug, and it attaches to people's fishing lines. So if you mm-hmm. pull up your fishing line and you see all this clear goop on it, that's spiny water flea. So.
And the tendency, of course, is to just wipe it off, which is what you don't want to do. Well, you want to do that, but where you wipe it into.
Right. Yeah. So that's part of the education part.
So what's the rusty crayfish thing?
Well, I'm not super familiar with it, but it is an invasive species, and it's not on the DNR list of infested waters, but it's because recent U.S. Forest Service has been doing some research on it, and it's also in the Rainy River watershed, too. So mm-hmm. People actually eat them.
Well, that's one way to take care
yeah.
of them. Okay, what are you having for dinner tonight? Well,
yeah, rusty crayfish. And the Lake County Soil and Water actually has a rusty crayfish costume where they put someone in at county parades and stuff. It's pretty great.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. Okay, maybe we ought to get one of those things.
Yeah, totally.
I'll volunteer to be the zebra mussel. No.
They're working on a zebra mussel costume.
They? Okay.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, this sounds pretty exciting. It also sounds like you're pretty well organized. And the county board, after all, did ask you and your office to put this plan together.
Yeah, the money was given to all counties in Minnesota by Minnesota Revenue, and it's up to the counties to decide how to move forward and how to deal with it. And yeah, the county asked us to write the plan, which was due December 31st, and mm-hmm. maybe our office isn't the specialists of aquatic invasive species, but we definitely wanted to help and be part of it. So we'll see how it moves forward from
now,
here.
Are these just animal or are they plants as well?
Oh, well, no. This is just aquatic invasive species. Oh, plants.
Water plants.
Yeah, that would be part of it.
Okay, like milfoil and
yep.
some of that stuff.
Yep.
Okay. So you're not just going for the living, breathing things.
It's also, correct.
And there's a lot that the Lake Owners Association already has done with respect to invasive aquatic plants. I know they've worked on that for some time.
Right. Yeah, and the lake associations have been great. A lot of the lake association members have gone south for the winter, but they've been really good at providing email input, so I bring their emails to the meetings and we can mm-hmm. incorporate their thoughts into the plan, because they're going to be a huge part of this.
So when do you start working on, I mean, you've already got the plan, but when does it start?
Well, I guess the next thing is to talk with the commissioners and figure out how to move forward, but I anticipate we're going to have another meeting in January and decide how to spend this money. So I guess St. Louis County is planning on having it work as a grant. They're going to have a invasive species task force, and then whatever groups decide, hey, I want to spend this money in this certain way, and they'll apply, and then the task force will issue these grants to lake associations or church groups or whatever
it may be. Yeah, because you're going to need people.
Yeah, so I think that's...
There's only three of you in your department.
I know, and we're actually pretty busy.
Yeah.
I think many other counties are going to hire a part-time staff to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have the Cook County Invasives team, and they have a staff to run the for terrestrial mm-hmm. invasive species. So it could go that way, but it's really not up to me. But I think it's going to be a group decision, and definitely the county.
Well, obviously, it's a daunting task. As you mentioned, we have an awful lot of lakes in this county. But that they are in such good condition as they are is worth protecting.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think the first thing we're going to do is do some sort of education campaign, and we can use the Stop Aquatic Hitchhikers campaign mm-hmm. and work with Minnesota Sea Grant. We don't want to, again...
Well, I think you've got a willing group of people that want to meet boaters and fishermen. They want that. You know, they want to cooperate. They just have to be reminded and maybe have a few tools available to them or places to go to where they could, you know, wash off their boat in a way that would make some sense, or you know, just to be reminded to drain the tanks and
right,
and not in the lake.
Yeah, I know the point is not to discourage water fun activities. So,
okay.
But just yeah, a little education can go a long way.
Okay, we've been speaking with Carrie Berg. She's the district manager of Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District. And it sounds like we'll be talking to you in the future as we go through the implementation of the plan.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, thank you, Carrie.